KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Maggie Westfold, one of your hosts today, together with Ursula Rudenberg and Pat Schlarbaum. Thank you for listening.
It started out chilly today with fog, folks, but today is partly sunny and with a high of 46 degrees to come. Tuesday will be cloudy but warming into the low 50s, when on Wednesday we'll see a rise in sunshine and Indian summer temperatures will remain mild. Thursday, we'll see highs in the mid-40s and cloudy on Friday, and there may be rain and temperatures back up to 50 degrees. Our weekend will be dry and sunny, but cooler in the mid-40s. So try to get out and enjoy our mild weather while you can. This is it, folks. This is Indian summer.
Today's phonology is the origin of the term Indian summer. Indian summer describes an interesting turn of events that occurs each autumn. After the first frost, a return to summer-like conditions is described as Indian summer. It is first recorded in Letters from an American Farmer, a 1778 work by the French-American soldier-turned-farmer J.H. St. John de Crèvecoeur. End quote. Then a severe frost succeeds, which prepares it to receive the voluminous coat of snow which is soon to follow. Though it is often preceded by a short interval of smoke and mildness called the Indian summer. There are many references to the term in American literature in the following 100 years or so. In the 1830s, Indian summer began to be used figuratively to refer to any late flowering following a period of decline. It was well enough established as a phrase by 1834 for John Greenleaf Whittier to use the term that way, when in his poem, Memories, he wrote of the Indian summer of the heart. As a climatic event, it is known throughout the world and is technically called a weather singularity. That is, a climatic event that recurs around the same time each year. The frequency, depth, and longevity of the weather pattern is clearly dependent on geography. It is most frequently associated with the eastern and central states of the United States, which have a suitable climate to generate the weather pattern, that is, a wide variation of temperature and wind strength from summer to winter. Many of those states are also famous for their areas of hardwood forest, which show up well during Indian summers when the leaves have already begun to turn and the sun is shining. So why Indian? Well, no one knows, but it is commonplace when no one knows. Many people have guessed, and here are a few of the more commonly repeated guesses. When European settlers first came across the phenomena in America, it became known as the Indians' summer. The haziness of the Indian summer weather was caused by prairie fires deliberately set by Native American tribes. They would start the fires and then in the spring, the lush greenery would attract their game of deer and buffalo, and that worked out well, so they would burn each autumn. Another suggestion is that it was a period when First Nation or Native American people harvested their crops. The phenomenon was more common in what were then North American Indian territories. Most assuredly, Indian summer is considered a bonus of beautiful autumn weather. After our first frost, we want beautiful weather. We want more beautiful weather to enjoy Iowa's natural resources and Iowa's beautiful lands. And that's our phenology for today.
Thank you, Pat Schlarbaum, KHOI resident naturalist. Here's a summary of some of last week's news stories brought to you from the Iowa Informer. Governor Kim Reynolds has asked the Iowa Ethics and Campaign Disclosure Board to review the consulting work of Connie and Kim Schmidt, who are Republican activists and executive branch employees. Their consulting work was funded by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Reynolds' request was a response to an Associated Press report earlier this month that the Schmitz recruited veterans to lobby against a law that has allowed victims of the 9/11 terror attacks to sue Saudi Arabia for allegedly supporting the hijackers. The couple had not disclosed their lobbying. The veterans were recruited without knowing the couple's lobbying effort was funded with the $101,500 Saudi Arabian campaign opposing the law. The Schmitz could be convicted for a misdemeanor and removed from their government positions for concealing lobbying. However, Megan Tooker, executive director of the State Ethics Board, told AP that it was more likely the couple would be asked to amend their filings to become in compliance with the law. On Friday, the Associated Press reported that Republican State House leaders plan to establish a new human resources manager position to file complaints of sexual harassment at the Capitol. The decision comes a month and a half after the state of Iowa settled a lawsuit for $1.75 million with Kirsten Anderson, a former state Senate communications director who said she was fired in 2013 after reporting a boys' club of widespread sexual harassment in her office. Plans for the new position were announced by Ed Failer, an aide to Senate Majority Leader Bill Dix. Democrats have criticized Dix, some asking him to step down for failing to address the harassment when it occurred, and more recently, continuing to blame Anderson's firing on her work performance. In election news, several progressive candidates were voted into office across the state of Iowa. In Iowa City, Council candidate Mahazir Saleh became the first Sudanese-American woman to win an election in Iowa. She campaigned on a platform focusing on issues including affordable housing. Ross Gruters, a union organizer and a member of Democratic Socialists of America, won a seat on the Pleasant Hill Council, and in Boone, three Democrats were elected to the city council. Victoria Shapinski, a co-founder of the Ames Progressive Alliance organizing group, was defeated by local architect John Hala in her bid for mayor, while candidates Dave Martin defeated Rob Bowers, a former Iowa State University deputy police chief, to replace ISU economics professor Peter Orazum on the city council in Ward 3. Shapinski's critic claimed that she would be divisive as mayor by bringing a partisan politics to the nonpartisan position. Meanwhile, Nevada voters elected Story County GOP Chairman Brett Barker as mayor and past county GOP Chairman Dane Nielsen to the council. Last Tuesday, Muscatine Mayor Diana Rodderson won re-election by more than 800 votes. The result was a major victory for Rodderson, who just 6 months ago was impeached and removed from office after a unanimous vote by the city council, which had already stripped her appointment powers the previous year. Her impeachment was controversial and seen by many as politically motivated, and after an appeal, she was reinstated to her office, and on October 24th, 2 weeks before the election, Muscatine County District Court Judge Mark Cleave ruled that Broderson's fundamentally unfair removal violated her due process rights. On Tuesday, two Muscatine council members were defeated, and a third who did not seek re-election was replaced in what one observer described as a sweep for labor-backed candidates.
And those are some of last week's news stories brought to you by the Iowa Informer. You can find more at iowainformer.com. Lenny, what do you think you'd like to be when you grow up?
I want to be a sweet baker.
Sweet baker, like cakes?
Yes, and cupcakes, and making all kinds of treats.
Wonderful. And would you sell these to people?
Yes.
And you would do this in your house, or would you do it in a shop?
In a shop.
Okay, thank you. Very good. This is Maggie Westfold, and I'm talking with Corbin Westfold. Corbin, what do you think? What would you like to be when you grow up?
Well, I plan on being an archaeologist or a scientist of some kind, and maybe a YouTuber. I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet.
Okay, YouTuber. What would you do on YouTube?
Well, I would make videos, like helpful videos and video games like Minecraft or Roblox, like videos that can help you out, or some videos about some neat things that you can do.
If you just joined us, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Maggie Westfold, one of your hosts for today, and what you heard was Corvin and Lenny, two of my grandchildren. I asked them what they wanted to be when they grew up. Careers are about visions, the dreams we have for ourselves, what we discover we can do. KHOI is in the midst of our end-of-the-year membership drive, when we've come to you asking you to buy into and support the ambition to keep having a community radio in our area. So it's a good time to contemplate what goes into making what we love happen. What do you love? What do you want to see happen? Did you need a few years to find the right career for yourself? Career paths can change, and for working people today, most of them do within one's lifetime. Most children have some dreams of what they want to do when they grow up, but by the time they approach college, they may have adjusted those dreams to what they think is reality. David Gould coordinates the University of Iowa's Bell and Blank Center, an international program that supports the development of gifted education programs through counseling, resources, professional development of educators, and promotes diversity and equity in developing talent. He serves as the Associate Director of Professional Student Development in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at the University of Iowa and developed a number of courses, including Life Design, Building Your Future, and Reimagining Downtown. He has won multiple awards and is known for his passion in helping young people reimagine their education and careers during their formative years as students. KHOI reporter Joy B. experienced Gould's educational approach to career guidance, and in this next recorded interview, Joy B. and Ursula Rudenberg spoke with Gould by phone, asking him to share his expertise in the area of career development.
Regardless of what they end up quote-unquote majoring in, I can guarantee you they're going to have to be remarkable at it. When it is something that you're passionate about, when it is something that you just have to do, because it's inside of you, it's the thing you believe you have best to offer to the world, you're more likely to persevere. You're more likely that when challenges come, you're more likely to get up and say, you know what, I just got to keep going that direction because this is what I'm meant to do. If it's something that you just made a calculated choice and threw a dart at a moving job target and said, I think this is going to be the best opportunity for a job for me on the other side, and you get those same adversities, you're much more inclined to say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe this wasn't the career of the future where I'm supposed to be. So number one, there's, to me, the opportunity to explore and to take other disciplines that maybe you haven't been exposed to is a wonderful thing that the university offers. It's also a place where, my gosh, you can literally walk, you know, from one block to the next and be able to meet with people that are experts in their field to explore all kinds of ideas and thoughts and disciplines. If you take a look and talk to any employer about what the future of employment for a young person is, they're going to tell you it's an interdisciplinary world. And so for them to understand how the different disciplines connect together, how you work in teams with people with different skill sets is absolutely what it's about.
Can you give us an example of how you introduce this type of thinking?
I had a class that I taught where I actually took students cross-discipline, a dance major to a finance major. I had a sum of money that I had acquired for the course from a business person that was interested in helping students build a social entrepreneurial venture. Our target place, because that's where our money was coming from, was Las Vegas, a downtown that arguably had been one of the worst hit cities in the United States coming out of the 2008 recession. And so my students spent 8 weeks thinking about what they wanted to build, researching it, brainstorming, working together. We spent our spring break in Las Vegas meeting with the community, getting to know what their needs were. And then my students spent their entire summer actually building what they had come up with, working in a team. That was a semester-long venture along with their other classes that they did during that spring. And then in the summer, they went there to actually actualize it and to build it, seeing it through to the end because they were so inspired. So that's an example of the types of things. And it's it's difficult teaching, but it also is really rewarding both for the faculty members and the students alike.
Well, it sounds like it's a powerful process of connecting to your heart and to the understanding that work and knowledge can lead to really rewarding connection to other people and to your own vision. And speaking of heart and rewarding connections to other people, this is KHOI, and KHOI is coming to you at this time of the year to ask you to be a little bit more connected to the station than usual in the form of becoming a member. KHOI depends on listener members to keep it on the air, and at this time we ask you to be part of that and to take out a $55 membership. KHOI can be compared to a young person or a student. The station is 5 years old and counting. Pat Schlarbaum is with us. Pat, why don't you talk a little bit about why the person listening to this show might be interested in becoming a member?
Well, today in our Heart of Iowa Fall Pledge Drive, we're delighted to bring you an exciting two-for-one offer. And we all know folks who are really hard to find appropriate gifts for. How about giving that special person a $55 membership to KHOI? You'll be doing two good deeds at once, helping keep your community radio station on the air and making your friend or loved one a part of the KHOI community. They'll get personal notice of all our special live events, and along with you, we'll feel the good vibes of keeping this community asset available to everyone. Just call 515-292-2878 to make that gift donation. And for these 2 weeks, you'll trigger another two-for-one event. Loyal listeners have pledged $15,000 in a challenge grant during this pledge drive. So every dollar you donate means two for the station. So take advantage of these great bargains today. Call 515-292-2878 to make a $55 gift membership in honor of someone special in your life. And thank you for being so thoughtful.
You can also pledge online at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And let me just repeat those ways again. If you want to pledge online, it's khoifm.org. It's a secure site for donating. Or the phone number is 515-292-2878, 515-292-2878. 287. We are also actually here live right now at KHOI at 410 Douglas. And if you are out and about walking in the fog, just walk into the station. In fact, just walk on right back into the studio and we'll be thrilled. Come on in. The water's fine. KHOI would also like to thank the following sponsors of the for this membership drive. These are businesses in the area that have contributed to the matching fund to give the fund drive momentum. Thank you very much to the Morning Bell Coffee Roasters, the Ames Chamber of Commerce, Greater Iowa Credit Union, Mary Greeley Medical Center, Alluvial Brewing Company, and the Mucky Dug Pub. Thank you to all of those businesses for helping to make this fund drive a success. And thank you to those of you, if you have already donated to KHOI during this fund drive, we so appreciate it. And if you have not, and you are still looking at your end-of-the-year donations, remember that KHOI is a 501c3. Your donation is tax-deductible. And think of us at this time. Think about making this the year when you become a little bit more involved with KHOI by becoming a member. Or if you already are a member, thank you. And please remember to renew your membership at this time, or maybe even considering increasing it a little bit to help KHOI have a secure year in 2018. Pat, any
last words? I really like the gift membership. That's that's something that we've trying to promote around
the
Ames
family.
Community. And and what a great thing to expand the listenership and the connections.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about connections. And if we can connect with our friendly businesses or neighbors and coworkers, what a great way to grow the station.
And I love connections. And Pat, you have been really valuable to KHOI because you have connected us to the wider circle in many ways, to not only to people, but to the environment, to the animals and the plants that also are very much part of our community and often don't have a voice because they don't come into the radio and do that. And, you know, I was just listening yesterday to a show about in New York City, there's a wild animal comeback that people are discovering, groundhogs in their backyard in Harlem.
And
opossums.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Nobody really knows why there's so many animals arriving in New York City for no apparent reason. Yeah. But we've also been experiencing a little bit of wild animal comeback in Iowa. We've got foxes walking around Ames.
Yes, we do. And we've got bald eagles soaring overhead, and we got trumpeter swans out at Ada Hayden, and there's river otters in the stream. And all of these special species, you know, represent the guild of all the other, you know, when you got river otters, you probably got a good fishery. You probably got some muskrats and some mink and things like that moving along. I think we've shown that the populations benefit from stable habitat. So it's all about sustaining and sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like to point out that there is a $250 sustainable membership where people pledge each year where we can grow the listenership. And you might consider that as, you know, it does take a budget to keep the lights and keep all this equipment running. So sustainability, I think, is the best overall way to approach our environment, and it's also a good way to be included in the community of listeners here at KHOI. Consider being a sustaining member. That's $250 each year, and it's the blood money that can make this station move forward into the future.
That's how we stay on the air. And again, the number to call is 515-292-2878. 515-292-2878, or you can go online at khoifm.org and make your pledge or make your donation online, become a member. And, you know, I heard there was deer sighted in Harlem, too, deer and coyote.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So if you feel like it feels a little bit weird or new to call KHOI or make that donation, just think about think about that deer and that coyote taking a big risk and wandering into Harlem in New York City. Now that is taking a risk.
And they're expanding their horizons. And there's so many things.
Expand yours.
Yeah, we love doing what we do here, but let's try and do more. And I think when people see bald eagles, they're here to guide us to do more. So so listen to Ursula's words. Listen to our station manager who is dedicating her life and all her livelihood. You got to realize that it takes a lot to make this station move forward. And your sustaining memberships are good. Your annual membership is good at $55. But whatever you can afford is truly appreciated during these fund drives. So please feel benevolent. Please feel that you want to connect to the station.
And thank you, Pat. Thank you for giving the flora and fauna a voice, as well as a voice to the many really remarkable people that live in Iowa that have dedicated their lives to the environment. It's quite remarkable, some of the people that live among us.
Boy, and all the musicians, all the neighbors and friends. And it's we're really trying to strengthen this community through communication. So share the love and consider becoming a member of the Heart of Iowa, KHOI, 89.1 Story City, Ames.
515-292-2878 and khoifm.org.
KHOI is all about exploration of ideas and the visions we all hold. As a reporter for Local Talk, it's my pleasure to be a part of this. Today, we're exploring how career paths happen, which is fitting because it's all about hopes and dreams.
So let's go back to the interview that Joy B. and I recorded with Dr. Gould, who coordinates the University of Iowa's Belin Blank Center, an international program that supports the development of gifted education programs designed to help generate new talent. Can you talk a little bit about the moment when the student starts to make a decision about their career and how that translates?
Passion's a wonderful word, and I think it all starts with that. But if you don't know how to take what you're passionate about and plug it into something larger than yourself, to a larger world, then you still have a lot to learn. And yet, you'd have told me when I was coming out of college with a double major in studio art and performance music that I would be sitting where I am right now, an administrator teaching in honors, working on community engagement issues. I never would have imagined it. I mean, I was a kid that really had to be talked into even trying out college. So most students will go through multiple careers, not just jobs, but multiple careers. And students will select something that they care about and are passionate about. But then as they continue to apply it, they will find ways, sometimes ways that they couldn't even imagine, about how it will plug into the real world. And that is an important piece to this, because while you are continuing to improve and follow the things that you care about, the world is opening some doors and closing others. And how the skills and talents that you develop get applied, trust me, often manifest themselves in ways you can't even imagine.
So what do you see as most important to students to help them find their career path?
Just being able to know one silo is not enough. People think that there's like some linear script that everybody follows. You go to high school, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job. It's an interdisciplinary world, and they need to be able to put together different disciplines.
In today's society, so many things happen. Companies move, they file bankruptcy. A lot of times people find themselves thinking they went to college and they're going to have this career their whole entire life. The reality is, in today's world, we're changing jobs several times in our life. And so it is really important to say, hey, it's not too late for me. I have all these possibilities in the world, and I can go after my dreams and the things that are important to me. This job that just ended isn't the end of me. I can change. I can adapt.
And I think for us to begin to frame our lives and create our own stories, we learn from hearing from others. I mean, nobody's life is the same, right? But when I'm able to look at somebody and listen to somebody who has a few more years on me, who's kind of traveled similar terrain, and they're able to give me the benefit of their wisdom and experience and tell me, you know, what I should be worried about, what I can relax a little bit on, what it's going to require of me, what I should catch and make sure I don't miss along the way. Those are valuable, valuable lessons. And again, they're inspiring. And I bring people to my class that are the unexpected, if you will, people that have been successful often in walks of life that people wonder that you could make a career at. I brought Peter Aguero, who's the Grand Slam champ, host of The Moth, if you know of The Moth, the storytelling group in New York. I brought Jane Elliott, who was, if you remember the brown-eyed, blue-eyed study, she's now 85 years old, and she is still passionately working for tolerance and anti-racism. Students who are sitting there thinking, my heart is in fill-in-the-blank, in art, music, whatever, and you're now telling me I don't have to give that up. That bag of goods that somebody has sold me, that I have to only put myself in three or four reasonable, dependable majors, when that's what I've got to do for the rest of my life and I have to abandon the things I care about, is maybe not true. And so inspiration begins to flow from that.
Thank you.
All right.
That was David Gould of Iowa City, interviewed by local talk reporter Ursula Rudenberg and Joy B. Tanya Austin of Ames has a different take on career paths.
I work in the Iowa State College of Business as a career coordinator. My role is to help students that are majoring in management and entrepreneurship develop professionally and prepare them for career readiness as they launch out after Iowa State.
What do you think is important about your role in these young people's lives?
You know, a career path's kind of like dating. You got to get out there and try a few things to figure out what it is you love. Mm-hmm. What it is you hate. And I don't know if there's really an easy way to get around that. I mean, as somebody trying to give some advice to a young student starting out at 18 and 19, they don't have it figured out. And we can do assessments and we can give them tools that maybe make it more clear for them right now. But guess what? Life happens on the way mm-hmm. of what you think your goals are. You're going to find somebody maybe that pulls you to a different community. You're going to find yourself starting a family, or you're going to find yourself in family transition. Who knows? You know, just when you think you have clarity. So I guess what I try to provide or give tools for my students is how to adapt, because it's right. always going to be change. I mean, right now this is good. Sure, you can go and manage this business, or you can go and start this business, but life happens. But at the end of the day, I believe life is about experiences. There is no magic eight ball. There is no magic assessment on who you're going to be. You choose that, and you choose that through your experiences, what makes you happy and your interests. It's about providing clarity for students, assessing natural talents to what you're naturally good at, ask the right questions, help give them some clarity as to the direction that they want to pursue.
Did you have any of this kind of help when you were headed for college?
Absolutely not. I just really had no idea what I wanted to do. I went to college because that's what was expected yeah. of an Ames High grad.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted my education. I just didn't know what. So I was hoping that it would unfold itself in front of me, you know. Just yeah. somebody tell me what I should do and I'll do it. I'm, you know, yeah. I'll comply.
Oh boy.
I just wanted the easy road, if you will.
You just took me back a lot of years. That's a real difficult time in life.
Tanya and my daughter Pam grew up together. So I remember these times. Tell us, Tanya, how you got where you are.
My first decision then outside of graduating from Ames High was I went to KU my freshman year. And I'm thinking the farther I go, the more clarity I would get maybe. I came back to Ames after my first year, and that is a life-changing time. I met my husband. My husband and I, we were married very young and thought, gosh, I'll find the answers along the way. So after working a few months here in Ames locally, we thought we had to finish up our education. We thought University of Northern Iowa, a nice small school, could get us in and out fairly quickly. We found some interest, enjoyed what I did, moved back to Ames to start a family with my husband, found myself in a graphic communication where I was doing sales for a printing company here in town, satisfied with that work, but not passionate. And that's when I just started to think there's got to be more. There's more than just going through life. So that's when I was pulled into the family business as well. So that's when I joined the family business. And from there, found great satisfaction in the idea or the fact that I could create and do in my own way. I mean, because it's a small family business, you were kind of allowed a little bit more than in a big company to make decisions. It was very freeing for me when I joined the family business. However, again, I found myself in a place where I'm starting to lose my sense of identity. Another life-changing pivotal moment for me was joining Leadership Ames. And that's where I started to say, something's resonating here with me. I'm liking this. I'm liking what I'm learning. That's where my fire was lit. So from there, I went back to graduate school.
Did you ever look at yourself as a leader before that?
A leader? I never considered myself that. An influencer, yes. At Iowa State, they had a program there in human sciences. It was called the Leadership Academy. Then some of my research and dissertation work was centered on, I don't want to be scary when I say this, but on a spirituality level in terms of, again, your highest potential. From there, yeah, I developed some startup businesses along the way in personal professional development. I took some time off to raise my children. And when I say time off, I was a professional volunteer. I was continuously on boards, organizations. How can I contribute? How can I make things better in a positive way? So threw my towel in on politics and ran for school board for Gilbert Community School Districts. And that was an experience I would encourage everyone to try sometime in their life, whether it be on a low scale, high scale, whichever. But it was a very rewarding experience for me. I throw my hat too in the arena of finance. And I can remember telling myself, why is it that I'm drawn to industries or jobs that are volatile? And I came to the realization that I love change, and that's why. Like, maybe that was my reason to be part of a team of some sort to create some type of change. So I do see myself as a change agent. From there, again, finding an outlet and passion in creating and doing, I started designing and developing furniture. We had that ash borer disease going on where trees mm-hmm. were coming down like crazy. You'd see them sitting on the side of the road and said something can be made of those. So I did that and that was awesome in terms of using my hands and seeing a product mm-hmm. at the end.
That's interesting that you tossed that in there. And you mentioned earlier that you delved into looking at things from a spirituality point. What did that do for you?
It allowed me to see a vision and then see an end product as well. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to bring this kind of full circle. There's strengths that each and every one of us have. It's just which ones we use most naturally and come most naturally to us. One of my top five is connectedness. And so I tend to see things that maybe others doesn't come as naturally or clearly mm-hmm. for them. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see how that's connected at all. And so I think that's my spirituality component as well. I see how everything prefaced the next thing.
So things did build one on the other.
Yeah,
somewhat.
For me, in my mind. And it may not have been visually logical uh-huh. for anybody else on the outside looking right. in. But for me, it had. You know, my path was not easy. It did yeah. not just happen. My undergraduate degree is in graphic communications. I had time doing furniture design and working in the printing industry. And being creative then allowed me to be an entrepreneur and a business mm-hmm. owner and seeing things differently, looking at things differently, reinventing yourself as industries change, and being able to apply experiences outside of a common industry. How would that work in this new industry that I'm in? So I think it gave me a competitive edge in terms of how I see the world, how I did my jobs, how I, you know, innovated. The hardest relationship you have to have in your life is the one with yourself. And I think the sooner you figure out, I'm okay, I'm going to listen to what my intuitions are telling me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. ask yourself those hard questions. Can I see myself doing this? Or is this what others wanted of me? So to really know, have clarity of who you are, what makes you happy, what your values are, what do you value at the end of the day? What do you want your legacy to be? How do you want to be known as? You know, to ask yourselves those hard questions that sometimes when you're young, you don't think about those types of things.
All right. Well, thank you, Tanya. If you just joined us, this is Local Talk, and I'm your host for today, Maggie Westfold, here with Ursula Rudenberg and Pat Schlarbaum. I hope you found these thoughts on profession and career changes shared by Dr. Gould at University of Iowa and Tanya Austin at Iowa State University informative. I found them interesting.
joining us. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Thank you to Maggie Westfold and Joy B for the report on career choices and vision for what we love and what we want to do. And Joy B is recuperating from surgery, and we all are thinking about you, Joy, and hoping that you have a fast recovery. Pat Schlaubram is here with us as well. And Pat, you want to kick off our message to the listener? This is the membership drive time.
It is membership time. Once again here at KHOI, the heart of Iowa, our fall membership drive to be exact. And to entice you to become members of this community radio station, we are giving to the first five people who become a friend of KHOI a $20 gift certificate to the Morning Bell Coffee Roasters, located at 111 Main Street, just down the road from the KHOI studios. Becoming a friend of KHOI is easy. For just $20 a month or $250 a year, you can become a sustaining member of our family also. It's easy to join. You can go to our website, khoifm.org, and press the donate button. Or you can use your smartphone to text the amount you wish to donate to 515-200-7758. And sustaining membership is really where it's at, but the annual memberships are $55, and also a nice round figure might be $100 per year. But whatever you're comfortable with contributing to this volunteer-derived KHOI radio station is much appreciated. So you can give us a call at 515-292-2878, and a friendly volunteer will take you through the steps to become a member.
That's 515-292-2878 or khoifm.org, khoifm.org. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being a member of KHOI. And Keith Morgan has joined us from the Story County Emergency Coordination. Welcome back, Keith.
Good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always. And we're going to talk a little bit about winter, right?
Yeah, a lot of people aren't going to like hearing about that.
No, we're enjoying Indian summer right now, but you know what comes after Indian summer. So, Keith, you're all about being ready.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Let's first off, you know, we're talking about winter, and unfortunately, just recently, we've had a reminder on why we need to be prepared and we need to think about what's coming up in winter. Over in Marshall County,
tell us what happened.
There was a facility that was using alternate power sources, in other words, generators, things like that. And some of the people in that building were overcome by carbon monoxide poisoning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main risks that we start moving into in these winter times, alternate heating sources and alternate sources for electricity should the power go out. People really need to be cautious using either one of those. Anything that is a motor is going to produce carbon monoxide, and unless it's outside where it really belongs, you should never operate one of those inside because you can be overcome by the carbon monoxide, which is odorless and tasteless, and you're not even going to know it's happening. The symptoms are an awful lot like having a cold or something like that. Alternate electrical or heating sources is another big one that we hear every year, the fires mm-hmm. that are created by those yes. because mm-hmm. people aren't cautious about using them, making sure that they're well away from any other ignition sources, making sure that they're properly approved for mm-hmm. The uses that they're being used for and
yeah,
away
you know,
from
Keith,
kids.
A friend of mine in Mississippi recently accidentally burned down her horse barn with an electric heater, and six horses died. As you can imagine, what a catastrophe that is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And our those that are in the agricultural world also need to check out any heating sources that they're using in mm-hmm. their facilities. If you're using a portable one, make sure it's got a tip-over feature so that mm-hmm. if it gets knocked over that it turns it off automatically, mm-hmm. Looking for those things. Staying in your home, obviously, snow removal from the driveways and roofs. make sure that you're physically capable of doing
that. Talking about snow.
Is it coming?
That big S word. I love it.
Do you really?
I love snow. I love being outside in it and everything, but you do have to be very, very careful. Clearing the driveway. Slips and falls. Put down a little bit of sand when it's icy out there to make sure people don't slip and fall.
Are you in favor of snow blowers?
I am. when I have a driveway like I do, sure, I am.
Yeah, you know, my dad is 97, and he loves going out and blowing the snow.
Oh.
So he you know, a 97-year-old man can clear the driveway with a snowblower.
Yep, and
that's called a boy with his toy.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is if you have a 97 years old, that's great. Mm-hmm. You can get out there. But if you have an elderly neighbor, maybe thinking about get out there a little bit early and see if you can't blow their snow. Let's be a community. Let's look out for each other when it comes to something.
It's a great way to connect with each other, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
One thing everybody needs to go and check is your local ordinances. Many towns have what's called a snow ordinance. Mm. I live up in Story City. If there's over 2 inches, it's up to you to make sure and get your vehicles off the road so that they can get the roads plowed. Mm-hmm. And this helps us all out.
If you don't, you get a ticket?
You get a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More importantly, if those roads aren't cleared quickly, then our emergency responders can't get out to your house if there should be something that would happen. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a fire hydrant outside your house, go ahead and clear it. Make it so that the firefighters can get to it quickly to be able to either help you out or help out a neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And where do you find ordinances like that?
Usually they're online. If not, stop by City Hall and ask to look through the ordinances. You'll probably shock somebody that you're stopping
you
in and care about that sort of stuff. But save yourself a ticket and, again, make it so that our communities are cleared quickly. That's why they call it snow emergencies, is to make sure we can get our transportation routes open. Another thing is those of us that do like to get out and about in this stuff, if you're going to get out on the roads, think about what you're doing there. Make sure your car's prepared, that it's got some things in there to keep you warm. Should you just slide off the road and go into the ditch?
So what's a prepared car look like?
It's got something to keep you warm while you're in there. A blanket is usually pretty good. A small candle can help heat up the interior, because you always have to be very cautious if you have if you're going to run the car. And you can run a car to keep you warm. The key is to make sure that you clear away that tailpipe, and also that there's a small crack in the windows. When I was going to college, some of the people from my college died because they got stuck in the snow, didn't clear the tailpipe out while they were doing that. Make sure your cell phone is charged up so you can call somebody and let you know, let them know that you're out there, and have a full tank of gas when you're going there. Usually, if you do go into the snow, stay with your car, because if it's bad enough that you went into the ditch, unless there are cars going right by you, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, 2 years ago we lost an elderly couple that tried to walk to the nearest farmhouse when their car went into the ditch. They probably would have been better to stay with their car.
And so in that case, it's good to have a cell phone so that you can ask somebody to come to you.
Exactly. A cell phone with a charge in it.
With a charge in it,
That's the key.
So getting a charger for your phone is probably a good idea. I mean, a car charger so that you can keep it going in the car as long as you have gas.
Exactly right. To keep it and keep your phone plugged into it so that you start off with a good charge. Walk outside every time like you're going to walk someplace, you know, not just from the car to your house. But that's what my grandmother used to say. Dress like you're going to have to walk to where you're going to, not just drive there.
So now we know where your mentoring came from. It's a family thing.
She started me off that way. You know, another place.
All right, so Grandma Keith, what's next?
Businesses. businesses are also a part of this. As I keep talking about, we're a whole community here. Businesses need to look out for their workers, especially if you have people working outside.
So what does a business need to think about?
They need to think about appropriate warming. Again, construction businesses, ag businesses, places like that. Watch out for your employees. Teach them what to look for to make sure they can recognize if somebody's getting frostbite so that they can take care of it.
People are working outside.
People that are working outside. If you have some sort of winter weather policy so that employees know whether they should stay home or come in, you got to communicate with them. In those cases, you know, that's where commuting can work out well, too, to mm-hmm. allow as many of them to stay home but still contribute to the business. Just think through how you can look out for them as best as possible. Watch the weather and be prepared to release them early so that they can get home safely, if you can afford to do that with mm-hmm. your businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the big changes that's coming with the National Weather Service is they have reduced the number of advisories that are out there. Mm-hmm. We work closely mm-hmm. with the National Weather Service, and they are always striving to find a way to communicate better with those that are using their services. So
you've changed the number of advisories, meaning you've increased them.
Decreased them. They had blizzard advisory, ice advisory. It's a winter weather advisory. Something bad is likely to happen in a day or so from now. That's your clue to start watching the weather closely.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody, when you go to the National Weather Service site, you can type in a zip code, a name of a town or anything like that. It will give you, in the lower right-hand corner, an hour-by-hour graph of what to expect, whether and in the wintertime. What's really good is it'll tell you, is it going to be snow? Is it likely to be sleet or ice or things like that? So you can get a much more localized, much more accurate idea on what's happening so that you can make a good risk management decision mm-hmm. as to whether to go out. I can't tell people to not go out in the bad weather. We mm-hmm. all have things that we have to do. But every time that you make that trip, think about, is it worth your life, and is it worth the life of a first responder that might have to come out and mm-hmm. try and respond to your emergency mm-hmm. Should something happen mm-hmm. out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember back in the day when we used to deliver our programming by hand to our radio tower. Cynthia's laughing because she was one of the people that had to do that. It was snowing, and Rick, our engineer, he and I decided we could go. We were at that point, like, should we go out to the tower or not? Because our tower's out in the country, and we were trying to make that assessment. And we decided it wasn't that bad out, and so we drove out there. And it's amazing how quickly you can get stuck in a snowdrift when you didn't expect to. And we did get stuck, and we didn't have any blankets in the car. We didn't even really have good coats.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got this bright idea. We're going to put cardboard under the tires. And so we were out there, with cardboard, and none of that worked. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so, we were sitting in the car trying to think, what are we going to do now? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this farmer showed up with this enormous tractor and pulled us over to I-35. But, thank you to the farmers who watch out for, silly people like us who go out unprepared, because it happens so fast.
It happens fast, especially here in Iowa. Mm-hmm. All it takes is to hit a little bit of slush along the side
of
the road.
Or a dip in the road where a little snow forms and you're stuck.
Exactly, that you're stuck. And so that's why every time, like I say, gloves, hats, good boots on. Mm-hmm. Nowadays they have these wonderful collapsible shovels, which is only going to work so far. There was one time that I was trying to help out somebody that got the entire undercarriage of their car stuck on the snow. And no matter how much digging we did, needed a tow truck to get it out
mm-hmm.
on it. And again, that's risk management. If it looks like a drift that you're going to have to hit pretty hard to get through, mm-hmm. don't do it.
Yeah.
Turn around. We say turn around, don't drown. Well, turn around, don't get stuck on a drift, something like that.
And we're talking with Keith Morgan, emergency coordinator for Story County. And we are talking about snow. Sorry, folks, but we are getting ready for winter with Keith. So, Keith, what else should we think about?
If you're a person like myself that likes to go outside in the cold and let somebody know exactly where you're going. That way, if something should happen, you never think it's going to, like we've talked about, you slip, you fall, you break a leg, you're out in the green belt, someplace like that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody knows where to go, they'll get help to you much quicker, and you'll get that kind of rescue. Watch out for that wind chill. We know that mm-hmm. It can be cold, and then it can be really cold.
Really cold.
When the wind kicks up, especially if you've got kids playing outside. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they think they're impervious to the cold, and they don't mm-hmm. realize it. You have to go out and check on them occasionally, look for the skin starting to turn white, or just bring mm-hmm. them on in, entice them inside with hot chocolate every once in a while to check on them and make sure that they're mm-hmm. they're not hurting themselves.
Okay. Thank you, Keith Morgan. And in honor of Keith Morgan, we have a weather radio, right? We have it sitting right here.
I saw that. That looks great.
This is it's really sweet. It's not that big, but it really works well. It's portable, and it does have battery. It also has a cable and a USB cable for your cell phone. And it's also an AM and FM radio as well as a weather radio. This is a really nice little thing, and we will be giving one of these to the first person who calls this morning to take out a membership to KHOI. So this is in honor of emergency management, a weather radio. It's a good thing to have, right?
And if anybody who wins that wants to contact our office, 515-382-7315, and we can help them make sure and get it programmed. We can talk to them wherever they live in the county and give them some recommendations on which of the different surrounding counties they might want to program in there.
So that's great. So the way you join KHOI is call 515-292-2878 and or go to khoifm.org. But in this case, we want you to call so we make sure we know that you're the person who gets the radio. And thank you for coming by again, Keith. It's always really nice to have you. And, yeah, we're getting ready for winter together. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We've been your hosts, Ursula Rudenberg and Maggie Westfold. Thank you for listening. Earlier in the show, we heard about Indian Summer from Pat Schlarbaum. Thanks for being here, Pat. And the Iowa Informer provided a summary of last week's news, iowainformer.com. And we explored career paths and personal development with Dr. David Gould from the University of Iowa and Tanya Austin from Iowa State University.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
We also heard Mavis Staples' Building a Bridge.
Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
And we'll see you on Sunday at 3 p.m. Sunday, November 19th, KHOI is having our year-end party, Friendsgiving party. And please join us at 3 p.m. here at 410 Douglas on Main Street. Love to see you. That's November 19th at 3 p.m. Come and join the party. And Cynthia, tell us about what concerts are going to be playing.
Tomorrow, that's Monday, November 13th, Honeywise, a folk band from Cedar Falls, who are currently touring the greater Midwest. Their music blends outlaw country influences with keyboards, mandolin, Native American flute with vocal harmonies as they tackle tough social issues. They will be playing tonight here at the Pantorium at 7 p.m. Hope you can make it. Also, tomorrow night we have Coffee Shop Romance live at 7 p.m. for the Pantorium sessions.